So, on behalf of Brother Glenn, Jenny, Joe, and Naomi, just to thank you for being here, saints, friends, extended relatives, gathered here to remember our dear sister Chris, who is now with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In particular, though, we are here to remember the life of our sister as a consecrated lover of Jesus, more so as one who was a living, functioning member in the body of Christ. Such a living is according to God's heart's desire. So with that, we will open the time with some prayer. We have two brothers have been asked to pray.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for gathering us in your name.
Amen.
Oh, grant us your sweet presence.
Amen.
Oh, release our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
May your name be exalted.
Amen.
Oh, may you be glorified.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you we could be here today.
Amen.
Oh, to worship you.
Amen.
To worship you as the man on the throne.
Amen.
Hallelujah, you are over all.
Amen.
You are in all.
Amen.
You are through all.
Amen.
This morning, what a salvation.
Amen.
We have you blended with us.
Amen.
We claim, Lord, we're 100% dependent on you.
Amen.
Lord, be glorified today.
Amen.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So in your program, there's a hymn. We're going to sing hymn number one. It's on the third page of your program.
Body, love, and constraint.
So at this point, we will have some sharing from the family. We'll start with Brother Glenn.
Okay, that's my son Joe. He has to help me do everything. You know, I'm so happy to be here, and thank you everyone for coming. I just want to say a few things about my dear wife, Christina. You know, we've been married for nearly 40 years. And, of course, I met her in the church. And it was very interesting how I met her in the church. I won't share the details, but if anyone would like to know, you're welcome to come visit me. Share a lot with you about her. The last part of her life, of course, you know, it's been nearly a year that she has been pretty ill. And I retired in July so I could help her and take care of her. And of course, my daughter Naomi, she's running a little late, she'll be here. She has been helping my wife. And for nearly the past year, she's been up all night, every night, helping. Okay, so the last days, I think it's very hard and a lot of hardship, but we had joy reading the Bible to her. There were many verses we read to her, and we were comforted, we were strengthened. I was strengthened, she was too, and her smile would be there. And of all these verses, many were on her future. We spoke about the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. She has a wonderful future. I'd kind of like to speak about that, but I felt one verse kept coming back to me. It's a very simple verse, and maybe in this verse I could share a little bit about her. And it's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you," and this is the verse, "since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints." Well, first of all, the thanksgiving here I want to talk about, because I have so many things that I can be thankful for. For nearly 40 years, we were together. I went through all the pictures. Every picture, we're smiling. It was a happy marriage. And we did so many wonderful things together. But in the book of Thessalonians, the New Testament, it says, "In everything give thanks." Amen. I have so many good things I can give thanks. But in everything, and this is one thing that's difficult, but I want to give thanks to God for my wife and her whole life. Amen. Second, Paul said that he saw or heard of the faith of Jesus Christ. I saw the faith that she had, the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this faith is a unique faith. It's not a natural faith that we were born with. I can describe it a little bit. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And that faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. This is a faith that we weren't born with, but we received. And how did we receive it? In Romans, book of Romans, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And she had this faith, and I saw this faith in her. You know, when I first met her, she was new. She came to the meeting, and after the meeting, I saw. And my habit was every new person, I come up and greet and welcome them to the church. And I came up to her, and I told her my name and welcome thing. And she said, "Oh, I know you. I've seen you." Well, I'm not going to share with you how she saw me or knew me. Anyway, but you come to my house, I'll tell you the story. Seems I have a motive here, inviting you to come visit. But anyway, I got to know her for a couple years before we got married. One day I remember, you know, in the church here, and by the way, it's been a long time since I've been here. I miss all of you. I'm really happy to see you. One day, you know, we have a practice where anyone can speak, and we speak Christ to one another. We speak of our experience of the Lord. Anyway, she stood up and she shared. I can't remember what she shared, but what I saw was the faith of the Lord in her. You know, she's a beautiful woman. If you saw the obituary, you know, you see all those pictures. You know, she's very attractive. But when I saw her share, I saw something of the faith of Christ in her. And this faith displays Christ. Christ in her. I saw the Lord in her. And, you know, I was thinking about her a lot. And I said to myself, what's wrong with you, Glenn? You see the beauty of the Lord in her. You know, David, King David in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he said, one thing I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And I saw the beauty of the Lord in her. And this is God's way. God became a man through incarnation. And when you read the Gospels, you can see God in a man. And God coming to man. And, of course, I experienced this years ago where the Lord came, revealed himself to me and he changed my life completely. Well, the next thing here, it says, and your love to all the saints. The saints here are the believers. Amen. I saw her love, and this is towards not only the believers, but all people. She was a nurse. There were a few times she called me. She wanted me to pray with her for one of her patients. One patient was dying. She wanted to share with that person about the Lord that she loved, and she felt he needed the Lord before he passed into eternity. So I prayed with her. This attracted me to her very much because she loved people and she served people. All my life I've been in one form or another serving. And especially the last 6 years at the school system, I work with special ed kids. I love those kids. Two of the teachers that I work with are here, and I loved working with them and the kids. But I saw this in my wife, her love for people. This attracted me to her. We were compatible. There's beauty inside her, in her heart, I saw. And of course, many here, and we're going to give you the opportunity to share your experience of my wife that you had, and I believe she touched many lives. Anyway, I think probably my time is drawing close. I told my son I wouldn't talk too long. I have that tendency. But I want... my dear wife, I saw the Lord in her. It wasn't just an attractive woman. She had a very special heart for people. I could tell you a lot of stories. I don't have time. I'd like to tell you stories about her. So she loved people and that love. And then she loved her family. You know, I'm so thankful. What she gave me was a beautiful family. The treasure I have on earth is my family. She was my treasure. I'll never forget her. 2/3 of my life with her. What a treasure. I'll never forget her. I'll never forget the Christ that I saw in her. Oh, what a benefit that I received from her. Don't even realize what a benefit it was. So our marriage vows was for better or for worse, in sickness or in health. She suffered a lot. The last 17 years of her life was a lot of suffering. Pain was every day, consistent. But most of you don't know that. Because when you saw her, you didn't see the suffering. did you? I saw the suffering, but I also saw the Lord, and I'm so thankful. Well, I should end what I said. Anyway, I'm so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful I could share this with you, and I have many wonderful things I could really share with you if you would like to hear more. Okay, so that'll conclude my...
I'd also like to share something, just a few points that came to me. First is regarding the pattern she and my dad were together to us children of loving and serving the Lord. The second was her love for her children. The third was her prayer and combined together with her burden for others. And then the fourth was her suffering and how she maintained her love for the Lord and even spoke well of the Lord, even in the midst of the suffering. Well, even the verses we've selected here in the program, mainly we were looking through her New Testament and it was picking out some things, but it was hard because there were so many things underlined and starred in the verses and in the footnotes. But the first two verses here were, if you've read her biography in the back or as you read it later, you'll realize this was related to her experience of coming to know the Lord. And this was the first verse that she said she drank in when she heard it. That's the living water that satisfied her, where she could never thirst again, and her experience calling on the Lord and being assured of her salvation. So those first two verses from her experience. Then the second two verses regarding her persevering in prayer. And, you know, in her prayer journal that we found, where she had a number of names, churches, and, you know, some of you saints, your children, you know, she had them listed by name and prayers and answers. And, you know, eventually she even had some other verses here about kept committing all. She kept committing all. That verse was written there, as well as crying out continually. So just to see the prayers there, the detailed prayers and the answers, you know, these were two of the verses she had underlined in her experience. And then on the page four, those two verses, sets of verses there, on the outer man decaying, but the inner man being renewed day by day, and the momentary lightness of affliction works out an eternal weight of glory. And this, especially in the last 16 years of her life, you know, all the suffering, and you'll read in the biography there, with the rheumatoid arthritis and diabetes, the pain and the suffering she was in, as well as, you know, when my brother passed away, that was very difficult, you know, for her. But all of that, really, we felt like just she really gained, the Lord really gained something in her, and she really gained something of the Lord. So all that suffering was not in vain, but was working out an eternal weight of glory. So that's the reason we selected some of those verses. And these hymns we selected, especially my sisters who the last few years, you know, spent a lot of time with her, these were some of her favorite hymns, which just shows that, you know, she maintained her love for the Lord, even in the midst of the suffering. So, those 4 points I mentioned, you know, first of them being a pattern of loving and serving the Lord, to be brought up in a household with parents who love the Lord and serve the Lord, just produced something in us of loving the Lord and of wanting to serve the Lord. And then the second point about her love for her children, for us, you know, actually, you'll read in the biography there, you know, she initially joined a convent and she was going to be a nun. But it was through, she had an assignment. Someone had come to visit the convent, and she was tasked to watch the children. And as she spent time with them, she realized what she really wanted was children. So this is why she left the convent, so that she could be married and have children. And that's what I remember in our household, you know, especially for my mom, was the love. You know, with my dad, there was the discipline and the love. But with her, mainly, I just remember the love. Yeah, and I think her love wasn't just towards us, but, you know, to our friends, to the neighborhood kids, it extended, and even her burden for them to know the Lord. And, you know, I know Jason and others in the neighborhood. She was burdened for them, and she wanted to bring them to know the Lord. So her love extended beyond, you know, just us. But her heart was broad and was burdened for others. And so this matter of prayer, she turned that burden and probably picked up that burden in her prayer with the Lord, and would labor over these ones in her prayer and then look for opportunities, you know, to share something to them. So, you know, that's a pattern to us. And then, you know, this matter, as I mentioned, of her suffering, you know, even towards the end, last year I came because we thought maybe it was going to be then. She was really in the hospital and it looked quite dire, and we were having some time, and I just asked her about, you know, the Lord and her feeling towards the Lord, and that's where we put in here. You know, she said, you know, I love him so much, with tears. Just, you know, even with all the suffering and all the situations, she just vindicated the Lord, spoke well of the Lord, love the Lord, and thank the Lord. So she's really a pattern to us. Amen.
All right, well, we'll see how far I get here. But so Chris always had this question. If you, you know, got to spend much time with her, you probably heard the question too. First couple times it caught me off guard. Allergies. But after the first couple of times, you know, I kind of figured, or I realized that I need to be ready, because this was a question I was going to get frequently. Just a simple question. Sorry, suspense. But packed question. And it shows a lot of you know, where she was. Could you share something with me? Say no. So you got to be ready. Anyway, so that shows several different things, though: her desire to be with the saints, to be in the meetings, her love for the Lord, her love for the ministry, and also her, you know, her gentle encouragement for the saints to function, because she's not going to let you go. You know, it came in several different ways. Sometimes it would be like, you know, what did you share today? Or, you know, so it was always there. You always had to be ready. But anyway, it's just, you know, showing, you know, just, you know, her encouragement for us to go on, you know, and that was her desire, that we would be those going on. I have a verse. Steve's going to have to read for me.
It's 1 Thessalonians 2:6.
The next one, sorry.
1 Thessalonians 2:7. But we were gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children.
So the footnote on cherish. Cherishing, which includes nourishing, indicates care that is more tender than mere nourishing. And then in Ephesians 5, to nourish is to feed us with the loving word of the Lord. To cherish is to nurture us with tender love. And foster.
With tender love and foster us with tender care, outwardly softening us through tender warmth that we may have soothing, comfortable rest inwardly. This is the way Christ cares for the church, his body.
Amen. Anyway, so quite a pattern. I better stop there because allergies. It's that time of year. Hey, everybody.
Okay, well, I didn't talk to Jay about what he was going to share, but it's funny that I wanted to share the exact same thing. That what really struck me about her is, especially in these latter years, she was so limited physically, and she couldn't even go to the meetings. But every time I talked to her, she would ask me, "What have you enjoyed, you know, of the Lord lately?" Or what did you enjoy in the meeting? And I just was touched that she couldn't go to the meetings, but she was seeking the supply from the saints. She was, she was relying on the supply of the body, Christ's supply. So that really impressed me. And then also just humanly, I from the moment I met her, she welcomed me into the family. She loved me like her daughter. What keeps coming to me is I couldn't have asked for a better mother-in-law. She loved our children deeply. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that she gave us as our mom and our grandma. And I'm indebted to her and Glenn for giving me a wonderful husband. Anyways, I'm thankful to the Lord for her.
I didn't want to share anything. My mom had so many wonderful, awesome qualities about her, too many to name. But one thing, she had such a love for the Lord. And she wanted to share that with everyone. She had a way of speaking to others. She was so simple. She didn't have to say much. But when she spoke, she genuinely wanted to know how you were doing. She wanted to know details. She asked questions that no one else would ask. And she would come back and she would check up on you. And she, when you would talk to my mom, you would feel so special and feel comfortable to open up to her. And she wanted everyone to know that love for the Lord. And even up until her last days, prayers for others, ones that would, my daughter's friends, she wanted to be able to see them and share. My friends, she wanted to be able to see them and for them to know the love of the Lord. I don't know what else to...
I remember she loved me and she proved it by kissing me and hugging me when she was tired or ill. And mainly what I want to say is that I loved her.
What I really loved about my grandma was that even when we visited her, she always tried her best to come out and see us. And even though she wasn't well and a lot of pain, she still came out and talked to us because she's very loving and she loved us.
My favorite memory is last year on her birthday. My cousins and I made a puppet show for her, and she really liked it. She loved us a lot, and I loved her. I will miss her. She was the best grandma I could ever have.
I didn't write anything down, but my grandma was the most caring grandma I could ask for, and she always supported me in what I wanted to do, like when I wanted to be a policeman. She didn't want me to get hurt doing the job, but then I kept changing it, and now she supported me so much when I told her I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I remember I was in SummerSac, which was like a daycare for a camp, and I wasn't allowed to do the monkey bars, but I still did them. And I had so many blisters, and I had this huge one. And she got this wrap, and she wrapped it up, and she made sure that I was okay. And I always felt comfortable around her. There was never one point where I didn't want to talk to her. Even when I didn't want to hug her, I still did. And I cherish those memories because I remember one time all I wanted was a popsicle, and she was struggling to walk a little bit then. She got up from the kitchen, went into my mom's room, up to the freezer, reached into the back in the freezer, and she got me the popsicle. And she sat back, she went back in the kitchen, sat back down in the wheelchair, and I was impressed because I did not think that she would be able to make it that far from the kitchen to my mom's room to the freezer, and she did, over a popsicle for me. And I was the one to hear her last words, and they were, "Good morning, Bethy." And then I said, "I love you," and I went back into my room, and she said, "I love you too." I was the last one to hear her last words, and that's what the Lord gave me from her. Were those last words. She loved the Lord. She cherished him. She wanted everybody to know that. She loved all my friends, and she wanted them to know about the Lord. My best friend, Emma, she couldn't make it today, but I tried to get her here. She was going with another friend because she wasn't expecting to be able to come. And my grandma loved her so much, she would call her Emmy. She would always tell her how beautiful she was. And we would always go outside, and she would always worry about us. She would always say, "But it's too cold outside." And we slept outside one time, and she said, "Oh, go in your room, get some sleep," because we went to bed really late and then woke up very early. And that was amazing to hear her last words about. I remember whenever I would never want to go to the meeting unless she would. And I would always go when she would. And the thing that we ate on Sundays was boiled eggs. And we'd eat them in the car. And I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to read Daniela's. I hope I can. I don't think I can, sorry. You can?
Okay. I remember when Grandma could walk and was not suffering. She would love it when Phoebe brushed and braided her hair. She would love it when we sang to her. She would love hugging and playing with us. She helped me get better many times. Without her, my mom would not have known how to help me. We all loved her, and we still do, and we know that she is watching us and always will be until the day comes that we see her again. We will be happy for her and be strong. She would want us to be strong.
Amen. So the next portion here is we will sing hymn number 2.
My heart.
this point, the family has asked for a certain few to come up to share their experiences with Sister Chris. We asked those that have been asked to come and share to come up here. The microphone will be placed up here. And we'd also ask you to keep your sharing within 2 minutes. Actually, at 2 minutes, the piano will sound, and hopefully you will wrap up by then. If not, the piano will sound again in 30 seconds. And at that point, we really do encourage you and hope that you will have wrapped up. So, amen.
I'm going to go first, because if I don't, I'm not going to make it. Chris was one of the first sisters I met when I moved here to Dunloring. And when I met her, she was walking with canes, but she made sure to look up and say hi and introduce herself to me. And eventually we became spiritual companions, and I just treasured her portion. She was, oh, Lord Jesus, one of the most unique sisters I've ever met and I probably will ever know. In her capacity to care for people and care for people, others, in the midst of her own suffering, I have never, ever seen a sister like that. We would call each other when we could, and at a certain point, she wasn't sleeping well, so I was afraid to call and wake her up. So I told her, we can call and leave each other messages. So we did that for a while, and then even then, I was afraid to wake her up. But we would still do it occasionally, and then at the end, when she was on medicine for her pain, Jenny told me one day she was making a phone call to me. Jenny heard her in the other room calling me, and she was leaving a message on my phone. She said, "Dear sister," and then she told me about her, you know, where she was, and was encouraging me and asking about my mom. And this was maybe 2 weeks before she went to be with the Lord. But even in the midst of that suffering, she didn't have a real phone. It was her imaginary airphone she was using. But her heart was to care for others, even when she didn't even know she didn't have a real phone in her hand. And this is the kind of sister she was. So precious.
I know I'm going to do this. I had to write this down because, anyway, there's just so much. I first met Sister Chris when I moved here from college in 1998. She and her family were some of the saints that lived closest to me. And so I didn't have a car at the time. I didn't even know how to drive when I moved here. And because I grew up in New York. And so I would get rides to the meetings from Jenny. And during that time, Jenny and I really got to know one another and become really close and eventually become really good companions. I spent a lot of time with Sister Chris and Jenny and Naomi, and spent so much time in their home, in our home meeting. It was just so sweet. As I began to spend more time with Sister Chris, I just saw how much of a prayer life she had, how much she really cared for the saints, the sisters and the brothers, through her prayer. And I could still recall, whenever I would call her on the phone, I could, you know how sometimes you could see someone smile through the phone, and she would answer, "Hi, Charisse," and I still hear that, her intonation, the way she would say it. Always so happy just to hear, you know, from you. I moved away for a few years and didn't really have a lot of time to be with her, but I knew through Jenny how she was doing, and Jenny would tell me, you know, how she'd be praying for me and so many other saints. And I just thought this was so sweet. The past year, as her health started to decline more rapidly, I'd moved back, and I only got to spend a few times with her. But during that time, just even her smile when I came in to see her and spend time with her was just so sweet and so warming to me. No matter how Sister Chris felt physically or emotionally, she was always willing to pray. And that was something that really touched me. So one day, I had something going on with my family, and I wanted to pray with Jenny. And Jenny was having a hard time that day because her mom was, you know, having a bad evening, bad day, and couldn't sleep that night, and we both prayed. And Jenny said to me, "I've always appreciated, Charisse, how regardless of how you feel, you're willing to pray." But what she doesn't know is that I learned how to do that from her mom. She was such a prayer warrior and so sweet, and just taught me how this is how you care for the saints. This is how we care for one another, to pray for one another and with one another, regardless of how we feel. So anyway, I'm just going to miss her so much, and I'm just so thankful that she's at peace and she's with the Lord, and amen. Amen.
When Jenny was 4 and Joey was 2, my mom babysat them, and that was the beginning of an instant connection and a sweet building with Chris and his family. On a sweet personal note, every time I come over, she'd say, "Hey, Anna Banana." And I didn't like that, but with Chris, it warmed my heart. I didn't mind when she called me that, of course. Benji and Naomi piped in, "Hey, Anna, you want a banana?" And they'd bring me a banana. "No, I'm good. I don't need a banana." But recently I was reading in a portion of the Word about loving mothers in the church. And this is who she was. There's a real special portion in that speaking, and that of course, a mother loves and cares for their own children, but even more for their spiritual children. I know she prayed for me as much as she prayed for Jenny, you know. Just to walk into their home and hear her laugh, and she would be sitting at the kitchen table, and you could not hug her, right? You couldn't just embrace her when she was there. And she was concerned, and she wanted to know how you were, and she wanted you to sit down and tell her. And I often could tell her, I could tell her, not my mom, because as a teenager, you can't talk to your mom sometimes. But Chris was there, and I think for Jenny, that was the same with my mom. You know, she probably could tell my mom some things she couldn't tell her mom. So to me, that's a real, you know, I have 4 big sons, but I have a lot of spiritual daughters, and they are so precious to me, but I had such a pattern in Chris, and amen. We loved her, and we'll miss her.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I met Chris when I first came in the church in 1974. I was in a sister's house, and she didn't live far, and she'd come over with Joey and Jenny, and they were in strollers, and they were little ones. And I remember the one incident I can really remember is that Chris, she was shepherding me. I didn't know it at the time, but and it's so true, Glenn. She has such a big heart, and she just loved people, you know. This was before you were married, I knew her, you know, so... She says, "Karen," she goes, "I want to go up to New York to the conference." I think it was New York or Boston. And she goes, "I want you to go with me." And I said, I was new to the church, and I said, "Oh, I can't do that, you know. I don't have a job. I don't have any money." She goes, "That's okay. I'm a nurse, and I have a job, and I have the time off, and I have a car. I want you to come, and we'll go, you know." And I was like, "Nah." And she goes, "No, come on." She wouldn't give up. So I said, "All right, I'll go," you know. So we're in the car, and she picks me up, and we get to the gas station, first stop, gas station. And I'm really bothered inside. I go, "Lord Jesus, I don't have a dollar to give her for gas, you know, and she's going to drive me all the way there." So I just was there, and she was getting gas, and I was really, really upset that I couldn't help. And I looked, it was a blustery, cold day and raining, and I looked, and there was something flowing by the car. She had a little Volkswagen. Remember a little Volkswagen? And I was like, whoa. And I got out of the car, and she gets in the car. She goes, where are you going? I go, I'll be right back. And so I chase it. It's a $20 bill. I grab the $20 bill. I look around. Anyone else lose a $20 bill, you know? And I get in the car, and I says, Chris, look what the Lord gave me. And I go, here. And she says, praise the Lord, Karen. I go, I feel much better now. We can go. She was just that way. She just loved people. And the first marriage I went to in the church was both of yours. That was the very first. I thought, they get married here? You know, as a holy church, you know. I was new, but it was really good. And just about a month ago, I was out in California, and I get a call from her. And I said, Chris, are you all right? She goes, yeah. Who is this? And I go, this is Karen Badger. And she says, oh, I misdialed. I go, okay, well, now that we're on the phone, let's just chat, you know? And so we text about 15, 20 minutes, and then she called back. She kept missing messing up the call. So we talked another 15, 20 minutes. Praise the Lord for our dear, dear sister. You know, she's with the Lord, and I'm so happy. It's resurrection. You know, it's just so sweet that she can be part of all of our lives. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel very honored to have been asked to share. I certainly haven't known Chris all the years that most of you have. But the Lord gave Chris and me a very special relationship. I had been through some surgeries. Chris was suffering a great deal. And I would go out there one day, and we would listen to that Wednesday night ministry together and just enjoy the Lord together. It was so sweet. I can really say we weren't real soulmates, but we just really had a builded up spirits together, you know? And so we were a real supply to one another. And I was thinking, you know, in 2 Peter 1, it talks about, wait a minute now, let me just get over to where I want to be. Unfortunately, 2 Peter 1:5, I think it is. The heading for this little section is growth and development by life unto the rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. And I always think of Chris when I read these verses where he says we have to add, we need to add all diligence. We need to be supplied bountifully in our faith. And then from this, he goes on to talk about, you know, self-control and endurance. And I really felt Chris really experienced all of these things in her life. You know, to be an overcomer really implies that there are things we have to overcome, right? It's not just to enjoy the Lord in the meetings. It's whatever the Lord gives us in our lives. We have to be overcomers. That means we have to enjoy the Lord and love the body regardless of our circumstances. And I just really appreciated this in our sister, and I thank the Lord for all those sweet times we had together in those years.
I got to be at the memorial service, and there was some speaking around the gravesite, and then there was this prayer, and it was one of their children, and the prayer was, thank you for Mom. Thank you for what a pattern she was to us. Thank you for her care for us kids, and thank you for her care for so many others. And when I was driving home, I just remembered hearing that word mom come out of this God man's mouth. And it was the sweetest name on earth at that moment to me, to have a person thank you for Mom. You know, to be a mother, you can't be a mother to too many people physically, but you can be a mother spiritually to other people.
I'm 10 years younger than Chris. I've read her biography, and I've kind of been evaluating my own life. And I realize everything, your education, everything is to make you who you are. And who I am is I'm a mother. And I own it, and I'm thankful. It is enough for me. And Chris was a pattern to all of us. She was a mother. She took care of us. She was just there, both Glenn and Chris. So there's another little thing I'll say, and that is Christina's life was not without suffering. Absolutely was not without suffering. But when we were going through, in my family, when we were going through something inexplicably mysterious that we couldn't figure out, and in some ways still can't figure out, the person that I went to was Glenn. Chris couldn't be around. And all Glenn had to do was open his mouth, and there was this understanding. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. For sure, Chris was my dear sister. And she was the mother to me in the church. I knew her from the first days that I got saved. And she supplied me so much. She had an open house, and we were meeting, and she was supplying us by asking questions like, what did you enjoy of the Lord, encouraging me to enjoy the rich supply of the ministry magazine. She always encouraged us, and she showed us how rich supply and treasure we have in our ministry. And I can testify her love, her endurance, her patience, selfless person that she was. She was truly selfless. During the pains, she complained. She always cared about others, everyone else. She certainly cared about me a lot. And she supplied me a lot. I miss her, but I have a great supply from her for my life to eternity. And she was a member that her effects on the body will stay for eternity. Because the love that she had for the Lord was truly the love that was explained in the Bible, in Corinthians, you know. When I read that, she was the true expression of that love. Amen. And care for the body. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
If I get stuck, I'm going to give this to Jay. And he goes, read this for me. Are you the designated reader? We're here today. We want to remember and enjoy our sister. And more so, the life of Christ in her. Excuse me. It wasn't just knowing her, because her love was like a tug on your heart. When you were with her, there was love. But you also saw a member of the body. You saw somebody who had three things that was already mentioned by everybody else, but what I wrote down, so I have to read it. She displayed the Lord through her prayers, through her shepherding care for all the saints, and most of all, through love. When I was a young person, I got invited to a meeting, and I didn't know anybody or anything except Denise, and Dewey and Nancy, and a sister named Angie. And I got brought to a love feast, and some people really loved me. And they spoke a true word to me. And I believed. And one of the first people I met was Glenn. And then I met his wife. And I found out something very soon after I was engaged to my wife, was that Chris was a praying sister. And she pulled Angie aside, and I'd have to wait around and see what happened. They would pray for a children's meeting that was coming a week later. She would have this heart to pray for every child, for every situation, for the meeting, for the place. Everything was prayed for. And I learned a pattern of prayer from her. And she said the strongest amens. And my wife said the strongest amens. And I said, okay, the way is through. Amen. So I will stop shortly. I want to say one more thing. And that is, you know, we went through some hard times ourselves. And the saints who love you are there. But I want to say this. I encourage you to have the same love as Chris. You should love what she loved. Number one, she loved the Lord. Number two, she loved the church. So you should love what she loves. And in our prayer, we touch what God's heart is. If we're praying once, we should touch God's heart. So I ask you, touch your spirit, touch the word, and then touch another saint. This is, I think, what would please our sister and would please the Lord. I didn't make it, did I?
As a family representative of my husband and my parents and my sisters, they wanted to convey their love to the family and to all the saints. My sisters and I were the same age as Ben and Naomi, and so I grew up alongside the Hammond family. I had many touches with Sister Chris, both as a child, but also as a young sister in the church life here. And she shepherded me in a number of ways, and she probably didn't realize what she was doing most of the time, just the contact with her was very shepherding. One time in particular, I was very conflicted and troubled about how to follow the Lord in something. And I was talking with her after a meeting, and she had no idea of my inner turmoil, but she said, I'm praying for you. And that was like balm to my troubled soul, because I realized she was praying for me, not just for me to do something or to take a particular direction or to make a certain choice, but she was praying for me. And that was like soothing ointment to my inner being at that time. And so I really appreciated that, just like all the other saints have been sharing. She cared for the saints, and she prayed for us. And I really thank the Lord for her pattern, that she joined in our Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd, to care and to pray for and to care for so many of us.
I knew Chris a long time ago, before Glenn, and before Naomi, and before Ben. And some little story, she couldn't figure out, Glenn, why you couldn't make up your mind, just for the story. She says, what is wrong with him? I said, I don't know. Anyway, Chris was, again, like so many have said, one of the first sisters that I met when I came to the church. And she is kind of, or was kind of like the Lord. The Lord doesn't come and poke at you. He kind of walks with you. And at certain times, he might nudge you. And there was one particular time, because I'm not big on standing up and talking to people. I talk all week, but not here. And so we were at a conference in New York, and she's like this. She's, why don't you stand up? And I'm going, stand up. Why don't you stand? Okay. So I did, and it was wonderful. And then she encouraged me to get baptized, and I thought, I was baptized a long time ago. And she said, no. You have to get baptized and come up as an, okay, I'll do that too. So she was, like I say, like the Lord, she would just kind of nudge you along. And when I first met her, of course, she had Joey. We called him Joey and Jenny. And she was living in a basement off of Calvert Street, and she would run her hair dryer at night so that they wouldn't wake up. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is, you know, a desperate situation. But she was just always, obviously she knew the Lord, and she shared that. And then there was another funny time. I talked her into going sailing at Tridelphia Lake, which you may not know about. And here's the two of us. There's nobody else around. I kept thinking, what if we drown? They're never going to know we're dead. But she went along with me. And I just, Chris always
shared the Lord with you. It didn't matter where you were or what you were doing, and she just had a way of doing it without pushing you. And she didn't, I mean, so many people you meet that are Christians out there, well, you know, they push. But she didn't. She just shared, and she reminded me so much of just the way the Lord works with us. He walks with us. He's with us, pushing on us to get better. And I appreciated that.
Yesterday I was enjoying the verse, "Thou show me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Amen. Chris, when she first touched the church in Philadelphia, brother told me this. As soon as she saw the church in the basement of a bank where they were meeting in Philadelphia, she knew she had a family. At that point, she was desperate for family. And so she drove right into the church. And I realized, just by the testimonies that have been here today, you can see this is not just an organization. This is God's family on the earth. Amen. And really, in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Chris is enjoying fuller than fullness of joy now. Amen. Apostle Paul said, "I press toward the mark." And according to the footnote, the mark is the fullest enjoyment of Christ. Amen. But between the fullest enjoyment of Christ and the uttermost enjoyment of Christ as a prize in the millennium, there is something in between. Amen. And that's where our sister is enjoying right now. Amen. So how we praise the Lord that we're here enjoying such a rich Christ together. Amen. And Chris has been one of the ones that has made that possible.
Amen. It's interesting that I'm following Bill, because that's what I was most impressed with, is that we are a family. Amen. And at a time like this, you realize, you know, that we are a family and we love one another. It's so precious. It's God's love within us. There's saints here from everywhere today. It's really wonderful what our sister has brought together. I didn't prepare anything. I tried. What I did was I wrote notes to some of the family and I told them some of the things that I remembered. But a few months ago, I don't remember exactly how long, Bill Hurst called me one day and he said, you know, my daughter works at the hospital. And he says, "Chris is at the hospital. Do you think your daughter could go see her?" And I said, "What's wrong with me going to see her?" And he said, "Well, you can. Can you go?" And I said, "Yes, I can go. I've had lots of experience at the hospital." So when I got there, Glenn was in the door. He was blocking me, you know, and he said, "I don't think she wants to see you." I just pushed right on in. I mean, I'm there now, you know. So, you know, she wouldn't let me leave. Right. How long did I stay? 6 hours? A long time. I waited for Jenny to come. She wouldn't let me leave. We fellowshipped and prayed all afternoon. And then she would say, "Aren't you tired? Maybe you should go." And I didn't want to go, and she didn't want me to go. So it was very precious. Amen. We go back a long ways, you know. I'm like some of the ones I've known her since. We've been here a long time, right? Right. So anyway, this is our family. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Good to be with you. And especially good to be with the family. I didn't expect to be here, didn't plan to be here. But because of my own situation, a brother said he'd like to just be with me. And I said, "Yes, come." And so I called Glenn. "Glenn, I just want to be with you. I can't do anything, but I'd just like to be with you." So I had a wonderful time with Glenn and Naomi the other morning. But I just, I think you're all aware, both Mary and I and the family knew Glenn and Chris before they were ever married. In the church life, young life, and because our youngest daughter, she already testified, was so close to Jenny, we were just more than just, I don't think it was a fleshly relationship, but we just had a care for one another. Amen. And a love for one another. Amen. And appreciation for one another. And honestly, we served together for many, many years. And what Azza did not say, you all need to know, Glenn and Chris, and I think it was Nancy, knocked at the door of Azada, she's from Iran, and led her to the Lord. Amen. And baptized her in her own bathtub. Amen. Right, Azada?
Yes.
And then later, Fred got saved, and they'd been in the church life.
Amen.
All these years. You talk about fruit and remaining fruit? Here's evidence of it.
Amen.
And they've impacted a lot of people. Anyway, they were both great in the gospel. Their heart was for the gospel. Their heart was for the Lord. From the very beginning of their initial contact with the Lord. And they manifested that through their whole life long. To the present time. It's not a small thing. Well, really, there's not too many moms in the church life. But thank God there are some. Every locality has some moms. And I didn't know it until on this trip. Anna said, Dad, you probably didn't know. Chris was my second mom. And I didn't. But anyway, we're so close, it's not a surprise. Now, two things. I just feel you all need to know. We love the children, and especially Jenny and Joe. We prayed together a lot. We prayed for Jenny. We prayed for Joe. And Jenny was at a crisis time. She was getting on the plane the next day to go to Europe, and we didn't know when we were going to see her. The Lord stopped it that very day. Recovered Jenny. Now she's in the church life with a fine husband, young daughters. Joe didn't do so well spiritually in his college experience. After he graduated with MIT, I don't know how he got revived. He came back to Dunloring. We didn't have many young people. It was in the prayer meeting. He came to me and he said, Brother Bob, I have a burden to go and to serve to the full-time training. I said, really? I said, okay, Joe, prove it. I want you in every prayer meeting, every church meeting. I want you to start functioning and live like you mean what you say.
Amen.
And if you're faithful to do this, 1 year from now, you're going to the full-time training.
Amen.
And I was in the full-time training. He tried to escape two or three times. He has to go back again. Anyway, thank the Lord for these young ones.
Amen.
Now, just a practical fellowship, Glenn and Naomi especially. This is out of my heart and a little bit out of my experience. You've joined the ranks. You don't know how tired you are. You don't know how your whole being, psychological, physical, spiritual. You've borne something very few have borne. You, none of you sitting here, know. I'm telling you. I spent almost 6 hours, and I didn't know the half. But he opened his heart a little bit. Listen, Naomi, what about her? Day and night, saints, listen, some nights, all night long, with Sister Chris, serving her, loving her, caring for her. So this is my fellowship. The word the Lord gave me to give to you, both Glenn and Chris, Glenn and Naomi. Isaiah 40:31. The next period of time, I don't know how long, wait on Jehovah. And he will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and will not become weary. And you will walk and will not faint.
Amen.
Glenn, don't do anything. Wait. 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 Don't be bothered by serving. Wait on Jehovah.
Amen.
Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
And the second one is 1 Corinthians 12:13. For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit. God has blended us in the body. You need the supply of the body. Brothers and sisters, you need to visit Glenn, just like you said. He needs to tell you. He needs to open his heart, share all of his experiences, all of his enjoyment, all of the life, all that you've gone through. You need to talk. Talk to the brothers. Talk to the sisters. Pray with them. Fellowship with them. Rest in the Lord and rest on the body.
Amen.
Saints, the supply is in the head, and that head is connected to the body.
Amen.
And we need every member in the body.
Amen.
To give us the proper sustenance of life and recovery and healing.
Amen.
You know, I'm still healing. I didn't expect and didn't plan, honestly. My son called me and wanted me to go to Itero, and I said, I'm not planning on it. He pressed me a bit, and Lord willing, I guess I'm going to go. But anyway, the point of it is, I feel like I've been getting healing because I've had practically, daily contact in my home with brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We can talk, we can pray, we can get in the ministry, and the body heals you.
Amen.
The spirit of life heals you.
Amen.
So it's going to take time. My doctor told me, Bob, don't be too quick. It's going to probably take a year. So if it's going to take me a year, it might take you guys 2 years. But don't be condemned even about coming to the meetings. You go to him and take the meeting to him.
Right.
Don't worry whether he comes or he doesn't come. He's right on track.
Amen.
Naomi's right on track.
Amen.
They poured their life out on their mother.
Amen.
In such a rich way, and on her wife. And the Lord will reward you. You pour your life out on him. We don't see that side. Anyway, thank the Lord for his grace and his supply.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Chris had a big influence on a lot of us sisters in Beltsville. When she was in Gaithersburg, she invited us to come to her home and had us listen to Ezekiel messages with her. And then she made lunch for us. And we were really blessed to have that kind of care and nurturing. Even though I was probably one of the oldest sisters there in Beltsville. I was kind of broken and not broken in the way we usually use that term in the church life. I was in need of being broken that way. But anyway, I have to say that I've been a mess for a long time, but I feel like the Lord is reaching me, and through people like Sister Chris, who she knew love and she knew how to give love.
Amen.
And for a person that grew up without it and in a family that knew little about it, everybody needs it. Everybody needs love, and they need love expressed to them. And so anyway, that's beginning to happen. And just very recently, like Monday, as a matter of fact, in reading the morning revival, I read about this kind of love that the Father has to us, that he didn't give us the law so that we could do it. And that was a big frustration, being a Christian for so many years and trying so hard to always do it. Even though I heard, the Lord wasn't the Lord's intention. The Lord, in the morning revival with a sister on the phone, just heard that his intention in giving us that was not that the law, was not that we would keep it, but that he gave it to us out of love. And so I just said to the Lord at that point, to myself, Lord, how? This doesn't make any sense. Why would you give us the law? And then Brother Lee is saying, you know, he's giving it to you as a contract of love. And anyway, I just had a flash, a realization that it's God's love. Amen. If you take God's love, if you eat this word and you take God's love, it can heal you. And I have to say that it's changed my life just in a few days. And I just feel, not only does he love me, but this love touches the people around me, touches my husband. It touches all the ones around me. And I just praise the Lord for this reality, that this love finally reached me. And that Sister Chris had a big part in that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave us a family. Amen. Yeah. I was asked to come up, and I wasn't sure what to share, because I actually didn't really get to know Chris except for, until a month and a half ago.
Right.
And when we went to visit, right? Before that, I didn't know her very much. We had a common bond. I am a nurse. She's a nurse, right? But I just wanted to share the fact that when we were visiting at the home, it was such a sweet home meeting. There was Benjamin, our 8-year-old, playing with Bethany, with the little rabbit and the little puppy. And we were fellowshipping around the hospital bed, and the prayer that was there, and then the hug in the Lord was just, I just realized, Lord, thank you for where you placed us. Amen. Amen. And the verse that is really precious to reflect that is, Lord, each one has.
Amen.
At that time, it's hard to explain, but then there was just such a sweetness that came out of that time. And I really enjoyed the hymn, the second hymn, and maybe just to present this. Says, Lord, keep my heart burning brightly for you. A love never dwindling, always hot for you.
Amen.
A love shining brighter, amen, all the way for you. A love so fresh like the day I first touched you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, take my life, amen, I present it to you. If I had 1,000, I poured all on you.
Amen.
Nothing withholding, my all is for you. My life and my future, dear Lord, is all for you. Amen.
Hi, my name's Jason. I met Joy when I was 5 years old. It's been a long time. And there's so much to say. I met Christina and Glenn and their family and Jenny and Ben and Naomi. Been through so much together. They've been so loving and so giving. His house, the playground, the backyard, and the meals at their house, and just the good times we shared. They're an amazing family, and I'm just so blessed to have known them and known Christina and Glenn and all of them. I could talk for hours about what we've been through over the years, but I don't get the piano to ding, so I just want to say it's a pleasure to meet them, know them, and be part of their lives, and thank you very much.
Follow. It was not just praying at one point.
it was amazing how faithful she was in this. And when we read Brother Lee's, words that he said, a Christian life is a life of praying and thanksgiving. She was truly doing that.
Amen.
Truly praying and thanksgiving person.
Amen.
In every situation, she was still thankful.
Sure, go ahead.
I have to say, praise the Lord for this sister. We enjoyed being in home gatherings with Glenn and Christina, but she loved the hymns. Mm-hmm. Every time we got together, if we were doing the morning watch, I'm telling you, she wanted to always sing. And a hymn would be at the back of your morning watch every week. She wanted to sing.
Amen.
And she has such a gentle spirit. But such a joyful one.
Amen.
She wanted to sing. She Amen. Loved these hymns. And the first one here, that's totally her. Amen.
Amen.
I just wanted to read one verse. I just reminded, listening all this testimony. It's 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, having this ministry, as we have been shown mercy, we do not lose heart. So this ministry, of course, the New Testament ministry, but considering our sister Chris, I didn't have that much interaction with her, but she did something very critical when I just came to the United States 16 years ago. I had some interaction with her at our home meeting, and that sister, she had a ministry. She was a prayer warrior. She was a shepherd. Expert shepherd, not by so many verses and everything, but she will listen to you, pay attention to you, what you're saying, and she'll get back to you, follow up with you. She had a ministry, such a ministry. We have shown mercy.
Amen.
Are we all cherish?
Amen.
We all care for. So I just really appreciated this verse. Therefore, having this ministry, as we have shown mercy, we do not lose heart.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I want to share one thing. It was about the same time, 16 years ago. It was the first home meeting I went to in the United States. So I was new. I think Jeremy was there first time also. But what I remember is the warmth. The feeling of warmth.
Amen.
But still, she made a great impression that whether I'm from Korea or somewhere else, I felt I'm family.
Amen.
And this kind of warmth should pass
Amen.
To our friends, whoever we meet.
Have that secret with the Lord. Amen. 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 Yeah, Brother Benson's going to share a few points with us.
Amen.
Well, I would just like to share a little bit. I feel like most of you don't know who I am. If you don't know me, my name is Benson Phillips, and my wife over here, Barbara, and I feel that I have had been connected to you all, even though I don't know that I've ever been here but anyhow, I would just like to say a little bit, there's several that have lost their wives, and in this came out by some brothers that considered what do we have here, and they've lost their wives, and it's not easy. I know. I'm thankful that I still have my wife, but who knows? The Lord is in control of everything. And I know that our brother Glenn, it's not so easy. He's starting almost another life. But he has her that loved the Lord to such a degree. And I know that Glenn will make it. I didn't know Glenn before I met this brother, Joe. And I've had a lot of time with Joe, and this, his wife, is my daughter back here. And that, some of you know this. But anyhow, my wife is there, and that's my daughter, and this is Joe, and this is Glenn. I mean, that means a lot to me. To you all, I don't know if it means that much. But anyhow, I feel connected to all. And Bob, same story. I've been very close to Bob. I don't know how long we've been together, Bob. You can guess. A long time, right? Anyhow, I would like to raise. Some brothers put this together, and I would just like to read you part of this. I won't read everything, but I would like to tell you what this is. As they put it together, they put this as the title: Blessed, Resting, Living with Him, and Beholding Him in Resurrection. Now, even as before. This is the first one. As a child of God, a lover of the Lord, Chris is blessed in everything. And how do we say this? This is 1 Corinthians 3:21-22. So then let no one boast in man, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death or things present of things to come. All are yours. Well, what a word that is in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. According to these verses, all things, now this is Brother Lee that said this in relation to that verse. According to these verses, all things includes death. Thus even death, which includes all negative things, is a blessing. We, the children of God, are the blessed people. We are the Josephs under God's blessing. That's just wonderful. And then I'd like to read the next point. The Lord guided Chris even unto her death. Don't think this was an accident. The Lord guided her unto death. And then I'd like to give you two verses of Psalms 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide us even unto death. And then the second verse, Psalms 121:8. Jehovah will keep your going out and your coming in from now to eternity. There's just so much in these verses that it belongs to you, I think. And then a word by Brother Lee on this. Here we see that God is our guide, even our tour guide. Our human life is a tour, and we are tourists who do not know where to go or how to get to our destination. We need a guide. And our guide is God Himself. He will continue to guide us until we die and go to paradise. Where do we experience God's being our God, our guide? He is our guide in the church, both the universal church, the body of Christ, and in the local churches. We do not know what our next step should be, but He is directing our steps. We do not know where to go, but He is guiding us, the tourist, on our tour of human life. Even God will continue to guide us even unto death. Amen. There is no need for us to worry. Isn't this? Then I would like to just share one more. As seen in the experience of Jacob, Chris is now resting in paradise. And again, I'd like to read it to you what Brother Lee said. But when I lie down, in parentheses, rest with my fathers. Well, that's not Brother Lee. That's from Genesis 47:30. Then Brother Lee said this: humanly speaking, no one wants to die. Jacob, however, viewed his death as sleep. Although no one likes to die, everyone enjoys sleeping. It is so sweet to sleep, especially when we are exhausted. For 147 years, Jacob had been bearing a heavy burden and had it for 47 years. Jacob had been bearing a heavy burden and had many involvements. After enduring so many problems, the time had come for him to rest, to sleep. Thus he considered death as sleep. He might have said, "My grandfather Abraham is resting. Why should I still strive and bear burdens? I should like to sleep as well." By viewing death as sleep, Jacob indicated that he believed in resurrection. Amen. First Thessalonians 4:13-16. Those who sleep wake up after they have had adequate rest. When I wake up after a good night's sleep, I am refreshed. This is what Brother Lee said. Jacob has been sleeping for 3,700 years. Jacob is still resting, waiting for the time of resurrection. Perhaps when we see him, we shall say, "Good morning, Jacob." Amen. Isn't it wonderful? This is our destiny. Chris is now, the next point, Chris is now living together with him, enjoying him, just as she did formerly. Of course, that is speaking of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Who died for us in order that whether we watch or sleep, we may live together with him. Amen. And then Romans 6:8. Now if you have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Amen. Isn't that a great speaking? After her rest, Chris will awake. This is another point. After her rest, Christ will awake in resurrection to more fully behold the Lord. And then two more verses, and that's it. John 5:23. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and it is now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live.
Amen.
This is our destiny, brothers and sisters. She's not finished. She's just got here, got there a little earlier. Now she's waiting to be brought through. Then Psalm 17:15. As for me, in righteousness, I will behold your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with your likeness. And then the final verses, Isaiah 26:19. Your dead will live. Awake and give a ringing shout. You who dwell in dust, the earth will bring forth the deceased. This is our destiny, brothers and sisters. You know, until I read this, Brother Lee speaking, and I read all the verses that he had to say what he was saying, I just am full of knowing that I'm going to probably die one day. But that is just, it's just a tour that I'm taking right now. And now I'm walking around, and I'm on this tour. But one day I'm going to leave that tour. But what will that be? That will be the time when I will be with the Lord, and the Lord will be with me, and everything will be ours. And brothers, I'm so happy to be here to see so many brothers and sisters that I have never seen. Y'all don't know me, and I'm sorry. I don't know you. But anyhow, one thing is the same with us. We are in the same recovery. And the Lord has brought us together.
Amen.
And when something like this happens that the Lord has given to us, that we have to take in a way that we believe in God, and whoever leaves us, one day we will be back together.
Amen.
And it's so clearly stated in the Word of God. And I'm so happy to have been here for this time.
Amen.
I'm glad that I've got Joe and Susanna as my two kids, you know, kinda, and my wife and myself. And y'all, I feel like you all, he wanted Joseph to stay for how long was it? 1 year. Well, after that 1 year, we got him. And I didn't know he was going to get my daughter as his wife and the three kids that are here right now. Well, this is the Lord's doing. And brothers, the Lord is with us.
Amen.
And I just feel again, as I heard all your speaking,
amen,
concerning our dear sister.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing that she was on this earth.
Amen.
And she was just touring,
amen,
going to another place.
Amen.
Well, she's ahead of us, but we'll be there too.
Amen.
And that will be a glorious day.
Amen.
And may that be our attitude. And may we remember her and all that we know about her. I'm so happy that I was here to hear all the testimonies that you all bore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I just like to say this. I'm so happy that I've been able to be right here with all of you. And I don't have to be in Anaheim all the time. Amen. It's wonderful to come see another church and the saints in that church. Isn't this great? It's great to me. And I think it must be to you all. And I think the Lord has given us a wonderful sister for so many years. And of course, it was your wife. But you don't have her anymore. But she's with the Lord, and you're going to be there with her too. And so will I. Amen. May the Lord keep us in such a full way. Amen. Amen.
Quite a while, but we're going to sing this hymn number 3. How about we do this, knowing that this was very much our sister's living on, in her core while she was in this age of grace on this earth. She was wasting herself upon the Lord. So how about we stand and sing once, and then the second time, we're going to sing it twice. Let's sing this to the Lord.
Amen.
Really, as our sister was singing this to the Lord.
Amen.
Destiny is glorious.
Amen.
Amen. Lord,
Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, thank you this morning.
Amen.
Lord, we'd like to pour out upon you.
Amen.
Our love on you this morning.
Amen.
Lord, we worship you this morning for our sister Chris.
Amen.
For your work in her.
Amen.
And for her journey in you.
Amen.
Lord, we take her as an example.
Amen.
To live such a life.
Amen.
Oh, well pleasing to you.
Amen.
Lord, we pray this morning for the family.
Amen.
For comfort and guide.
Amen.
For supply them richly, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, in one sense, there's a sadness that our sister's no longer here, but in another sense, how encouraged we are to go on. Our sister was a God-man living. I just want to share real quick, 30 seconds, and now I'll close it up and direct you to your refreshments. But this is Christ lived out of a member in the body. How real this is. May what the Lord has done in her be done in us. Just to follow a couple of sharing, the first time I met Sister Cliss and Brother Glenn, 16, 17 years ago, I was a broken, poor, rebel church child, church kid, fully lost in the world, no appetite for God, no desire for his desire, no care, but somehow the Lord brought me to a meeting, introduced myself, and immediately afterward, Brother Glenn and Sister Chris came up. Don't know, I forget what they said, but yeah, I could tell they were just so burdened. Our sister had such a hidden life in Christ. May we have such a hidden life in Christ. I had the sense, even the confirmation through all the sharing, that I, at the time, was in her heart and on her prayers to be recovered to the Lord and for his building. Oh, Lord, thank you for our sister. Thank you for such a function in the body. May we live such a pattern, allowing the Lord to gain us in such a way.
Amen.
Truly here to live a consecrated life.
Amen.
Living and functioning for the building up of the body.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
Amen.